with like a heavy varnish or something. Anyway,
yeah.
So
we should demand wooden ones so they'll know we're real and we don't.
Yeah. Because everybody knows that anybody uses wooden chopsticks.
Right.
So greetings, everybody. Welcome to the WNO show.
We're doing a Slurpcast.
Yeah, this is the What's New Is Old show, part of the Slurpcast network. Because everybody knows we're going to expand.
How many other members do we have of the Slurpcast network?
Well, not only that, but how many other shows on the Slurpcast network are broadcast?
SLURPCAST.com, because we slurp our food while doing the podcast.
That's right.
They had watermelon drink. I would have taken that.
What's that?
They had watermelon drink. I would have taken that.
So we're in the location in Berkeley.
That used to be Kip's.
Used to be Kip's.
And but this still is Kip's upstairs. And they saw, it's very weird. They've kind of reformatted it. They broke the building up into several areas where part of it's Chinese and part of it's pizza.
Right.
And it has different names in different areas, and yet they're all kind of combined. It's very confusing. But they are getting a lot more business than they ever used to be.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow, it's an old MOOC booth, a very ancient MOOC booth.
Oh my god.
I don't know, I just found this picture. I don't know what it's related to or anything about it.
Yeah,
look at
that.
That's
one of the first massive analog synthesizers.
Wow. We have no idea who he is. It's just a picture I found on the internet.
Looks like him.
You know, they have a refurbished one over at Mills.
Yeah.
At Mills College.
Yeah. Mills College.
Yeah, they actually restored one.
I remember when they got it canceled.
Now they're all software. The programs you just install.
Okay. Yeah. ES ready order?
I haven't looked yet.
Sure, take your time.
Okay. Sorry.
So is there pizza and Chinese on the same menu? You don't know how it's all work.
So anyway, so the Kip's used to be this dark kind of place you walked into, but their claim to fame and part of the reason why Mark liked coming here was because Al was very much intrigued and attracted to charcoal broil foods.
Right, and Kip's was about the only place he knew of in California that had a real authentic charcoal broiler and would do hamburgers and hot dogs on it. There's a fair number of places that have charcoal broilers. They'll do steaks,
right?
Or that'll do ribs and chicken barbecued or something like that. But finding a place willing to put a hot dog or a hamburger on their precious charcoal broiler is actually very rare. So we always liked Kip's. But Kip's was kind of weird that there's just something funny about it that we're like 2 blocks away from UC Berkeley. But the college students would only go upstairs where they had pizza and beer and a bar kind of environment. The college students wouldn't go downstairs for some reason. It was always kind of empty.
Yeah.
And it was just years and years. They kept remodeling. They kept trying different things. And they could just never get the students to go there. I have my theories. I think if I were in charge of it, I could have done something. But anyway, the upstairs is always crowded. The downstairs is always empty. And then I heard it was going to turn into a Chinese restaurant. And now it's this confusing mix where it's half pizza and half Chinese.
I can get a mango with pearl drink.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
I don't like those. I don't like the pearls. They're weird.
Okay. I'm going to do the Hawaiian pizza.
But they don't have charcoal buns. They still have hamburgers.
They do, yeah.
But they wouldn't be charcoal broil. Oh. I'll probably just get Chinese. I don't know. You can ask them if they still have the charcoal broiler.
I don't think they have the charcoal broiler. We tried to look when we came in.
We'll see it.
So the attraction to this area is that it's right near the UC Berkeley campus.
Right.
And so basically there's all this activity going on with the students walking around and people hanging out at cafes, doing their homework and studying.
Right.
But it's good. It's neat to come because always something unusual happens when you're here in Berkeley, in this area.
Yeah. Especially lately.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So there's been if you're not from this area, there's been a bunch of robberies lately. Not really that many. But there's been these invasion robberies where people would go in and take over a restaurant late at night and rob the cash register and rob all the customers and stuff like that.
Well, there's also Rasputin Records is still here.
Right.
That used to be the famous hangout. I used to come here when I was in high school. It used to be a place called Silver Bowl, which was an arcade.
Oh, right. I remember that.
And that used to be up near where, I think it's like an apartment now, but I have vague memories of walking around inside Silver Bowl. And what that was like, but that was a hangout spot,
right?
see, Rasputin was also a hangout spot. Tower Records.
Those big bookstores that are all gone now.
Oh, that's true.
What was the name of that huge bookstore that just finally
Not
the last
Cody's.
Chain? Yeah, Cody's.
Was it Cody's?
Yeah, Cody's closed in Berkeley a long time ago. And then they opened one in San Francisco that never had any business. It was really totally empty. And that one failed.
Okay.
And maybe they're running one. They opened another one in Berkeley on Shattuck, which I can't remember whether it's still there or not. It was much smaller than the original one.
Okay.
Maybe that one's still there. I forget.
So in our last show, we used Audio-Technica mics and some pretty fancy recording equipment. This show, we're back to the old Sony stereo microphone and the mini disc recorder,
right?
Which has a good limiter in it, so it's almost guaranteed that nothing's going to clip. I think I had your microphone volume turned up a little too loud in the last show.
You seem louder to me, but again, maybe it's my stupid mixer again.
No, I leveled everything out correctly, but it's just that the recorder, I think, caught your voice and distorted it just a little bit.
Okay.
I'm ready. I'm going to get a kiwi pearl drink.
No kiwi.
No kiwi.
We have mango, strawberry, or watermelon. Oh, honeydew.
I'll do mango.
Mango, pearl.
And...
Bobby, one mango pearl. Yeah, right here. So when I do the iced coffee, I key in, don't do it.
Alright,
right here
we go.
Yeah.
For...
Okay.
And then I'm gonna get a pizza.
Pizza, what kind?
I'm gonna get a small Hawaiian.
Small Hawaiian?
Is that gonna be enough for one?
Yeah, for one person only. Yeah. Okay. Everything
set?
Or you want me to?
Yeah, what's in the hot sauce?
Chow mein? Seafood, scallop, shrimp, squid, and then barbecue pork and chicken.
Yeah, don't like that.
Don't like that.
Squid? No squid?
Let me place this on.
Yeah.
Very unprofessional.
Yeah. But they have business. You can't complain. They can't complain. They actually have business now.
Yeah, that's true. There's like so many people. Kips used to be completely dead when you came in here.
That's a huge place. And especially the way they had it set up before. There was more open areas. They had a huge number of tables and only
positions. There's so many different kinds of people here. You got Asian, Indian, black, white, Mexican, just everybody's all intermingled, and it's just kind of cool to hang out and see all the different types of people, different styles of clothing and different attitudes. Yes, there's fights and people get drunk and go crazy, but there's also some really good places to eat, nice foods that cater, restaurants that cater towards the college pocketbook. So you can get something pretty decent for like $5.
Okay.
Although you can also eat pretty extravagantly.
Listen, man, like what I'm gonna order is like six. How much was your pizza?
Mine's like I got a small.
That's $6.15.
Depends
on what you have on it.
Yeah. I just got the Hawaiian, so it's like $6.
That's $5.50, yeah.
Oh, $5.50?
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not bad, and it's probably gonna be a big portion.
Right. I'll get barbecue pork chow mein.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, if you take the barbecue pork chow mein.
The barbecue pork chow mein. You like the crispy or soft?
Oh, crispy. And some steamed rice for him.
Steamed rice for one?
Yeah.
Okay, did you want to wait for his? It's quicker. You want him to start his first or all together?
His is quicker. That's fine.
Yeah,
okay. No waiting.
Yeah.
Whenever it's ready, bring it to the table. We're going to eat.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want my pearl drink first, though.
Okay. If I just was up here, will she be pearl?
Yeah. Is it plastic? Yes, it is.
Okay. So that guy who was asking about what that picture was I had, I printed out some items, and one of them was this, as I was telling the guy, this is a picture I found on a site that didn't really explain it very well. It just simply said it was a whole loop synthesizer or not. I'll link to it on slurpcast.com. Always has the backgrounds for our podcast and all URLs we mentioned, things like that.
And if I could jump in real quick, the www.slurpcast.com has a blog or message forum where for each of the episodes that we post, you can participate and ask questions.
Right.
If we get anything wrong and you want to correct us, or if you have other information that we missed,
exactly.
We encourage you to come there and actually post.
Yeah, it's very popular. You know.
Is it?
Yeah, your post might post three or four times because it might just get lost in the shuffle. You know, it might not get noticed.
Well, no. In all seriousness, sometimes Mark decides to give something away and have little prizes and sort of play games. So look out for those kinds of things.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the guy, the guy who served, who makes the serves the drinks, came over and saw the picture, and we were talking to him. That's who he was. We don't know him at all.
Right.
You like another iced coffee?
All right.
Okay. One more iced coffee.
Yeah, that is not free.
It's free, right?
It's not free.
I probably shouldn't be drinking so much coffee, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, you don't go to sleep until what? Four?
Sometimes.
I'm kidding.
That is true.
Is there really?
Truth to that. Yeah.
I guess.
I know, there is truth to that. When do I post the... Can you tell what time I post the podcast after you give me the draft?
I can check the modification.
Yeah, we'll find it. It's only 2:30 or 3.
Okay. I believe it. It's kind of nice to hand it off to you, even though by then you're saying to yourself, I'm going to go to bed now.
Right.
Yeah.
But then I can't. But then I have to look at the stupid thing. But anyway. So I think... I'll post it if I have it. I think I have a website about Mood with a bunch of YouTube videos of him explaining his things. I think I have such a thing. So I'll post that if I have it.
But better than that...
to try to find what this picture is.
Yeah, in the picture there's a young gentleman standing there by the side of the device.
Which is probably not Mr. Mood.
I'm pretty certain that's not Mr. Mood. But one of my theories is that that's Walter Carlos. He is young enough, although I'm not sure... If Walter / Wendy...
When he did the records, she did the records.
Yes.
He's much older. The pictures I have are much older than this.
Okay. So then that's probably not Wendy, Walter.
Or younger age.
I mean, it makes more sense of it, because it is a young man.
There's no keyboard here either, is the thing.
True, but...
No, he was a keyboard artist first,
And he doesn't look very... Well, like, I don't know. I'm reading too much into it, but for all those people out there wondering what we're talking about, Walter Carlos had a sex change and became Wendy Carlos, who then went on to write musical scores, was very close to Bob Moog, and actually was the first one to compose classical tunes using his synthesizers.
Yeah, he has a very famous record called Switched on Bach.
And it was it was Switched on Bach that Bob Moog himself used as an example that he gave whenever giving demos of his equipment.
And Switched on Bach was originally recorded when he was Walter, because the copy of the album I have says by Walter Carlos and has a picture of him being Walter.
Okay.
And then later on, if you buy the album later on, as a 33 LP, suddenly it looks exactly the same, except the picture has changed and it says Wendy Carlos.
Yeah.
And no one would believe me. Like Brandon, I had a big argument with Brandon about the name. He said, no, I have the record and it's Wendy. I said, no, I have the record and it's Walter. We had this big argument about it. He wouldn't believe me that
nice.
Came about the sex change and stuff.
I had this big book on with colored photos of all the different synthesizers throughout history. It was kind of like the history guide to synthesizers. And another picture of Wendy Carlos in it, who was very feminine. I had no questions as to whether or not it was a female. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really bother me. And then a friend of mine that I worked with said, no, did you know that Wendy was really Walter?
Right.
And I took a look and he showed me pictures and I was kind of like stunned.
Okay.
That could be a picture of Walter. I'm
much
not,
younger.
Yeah.
Except there's no keyboard with Bob because Walter was also primarily a keyboard artist and stuff. And there's no keyboard in this one, just the electronic only.
So, but anyway, Wendy went on to also write the theme music for Tron, the movie Tron, which was an incredible experiment. It was like Pixar before Pixar existed. Basically, Disney funded this guy's script to use computers to generate graphics overlaid on top of real film footage. And it was kind of the first time anything like that had been done.
Although, if you go back to old cartoons from the 20s and 30s, they had cartoons that mixed live people with cartoon characters back then.
But it was the first time that they'd used computer CGI in the way that they did.
Right.
But this is not blended.
Okay.
It's supposed to be blended.
Right, pizza's pearl.
It's not really blended. Can I complain?
And there's too many pearls. Usually they don't have that many. But, so what do you mean it's not about the drink?
It's liquidy. It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be, how's the pork? Is it good?
I would never eat pork. What are you talking about?
What?
What are you talking about, Wes? I wouldn't eat pork.
Mark is eating chicken.
Chicken.
How's the chicken, Mark?
Oh, very good.
Is it good?
Okay.
So,
So yeah, that's a very cool picture though. Those things were monstrosities, and they were also very, they were not stable, and sometimes things would go wrong with them, and the actual owners would get electrocuted. They were scary machines.
Is it possible this is actually an analog computer and not a Moog at all? Did you recognize it for sure? I just told you it was a Moog, because that's what this website claimed.
It could be.
But I really don't know other than that. It could be just an old analog computer or something.
Yeah, there is no keyboard. That is possible. It has patch bays, like it is a Moog device.
Yeah.
And it's certainly shaped like a Moog device.
It's certainly not a digital computer, but
no. I wonder. You know, it resembles Moog way too much, though.
Yeah.
Although there is no keyboard. But still, you could have a keyboard kind of, like, on the side.
Right. So anyway, we'll post the picture if anyone knows what it is.
Yeah.
Let us know, I guess. Then also just historical items. I found a website about the claims to be the world's first MP3 player.
Oh, this is awesome.
World's first portable MP3 player in 1998. And what's it called?
I'm going to ask this guy if he can blend it more.
Okay.
Can I get you to blend it with ice more?
He said, do you want more ice in it? I said, well, yeah, but...
This is called the MP Man Digital Stereo Player. It's supposedly the first portable player that could handle the MP3 format.
And it has something like 12 megs or something? As opposed to, let's see here. It had 32 megs of storage that could be upgraded to 64 thanks to a mail-in program. So you got some kind of mail-in thing. The thing that struck me about this was that the next model that was actually more publicly recognized was the Rio. What's the name of that? That was the Diamond Rio.
Right.
I think it was 330. It was the model. For whatever reason, they decided to call it that. I'm trying to look for...
Is that the same Diamond that made the Mako, which is really a Scion?
Made what?
You know, I was always into a PDA, a very early PDA company called Scion.
Yeah.
P-S-I-O-N. And Scion had a model called the Revo, and then that was co-branded as a Diamond Mako.
Okay.
But it was the identical machine. This is the Diamond company liked it and stuck their name on some of them. But is that the same Diamond that made the Rio?
It might have been. They did in the later years. Mm-hmm. They did start purchasing other companies' products and buying them up and actually labeling them.
Okay.
They're labeling them their own. So it turns out that the Rio 330 actually only had something like 5 megs or 3 megs of memory. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that much. And I'll have to actually research that, because I have two of them. They later on refurbished or redesigned the original 330 model and came out with a gray version of it, which had USB, because one of the problems with that first model was that it had a serial plug. You had to plug it into your serial port,
right?
And then it had a proprietary plug that then plugged into the back of that,
mm-hmm.
and would then plug into the Rio, and that's how you downloaded MP3 files into it. This was around the time before USB was popular, so...
Well, maybe even before USB existed,
no,
maybe.
I think it did exist. I think USB did exist, but it was the time before IMAX, which is what kind of made the USB standard. And USB did, if you remember, exist before iMac. I mean, PCs had them.
Right. But pretty rare.
But there were like 3 devices that worked for the PC that had USB.
Right. So what was your first MP3 player? Was the Diamond the first one?
Yeah, this actually was the first that I had, was the Diamond Rio. And then I never knew about the MP Man.
Yeah.
But that sounds like it would be kind of cool to look at. It looks the MP Man looks a lot more like a modern day MP3 player.
In a way,
it looks more standard and sturdy.
I bet it's bigger. I bet it's bigger than it looks.
The Rio was plasticky, though. That was the only complaint that I had. When I took it out of the box, I was expecting something metallic, you know, something really solid, like a Walkman.
Right.
But what came out was this plastic, light, easy to crack device, which literally, the problem that I had with the first one, I had to send it back twice. The place where you replaced the battery, it had a slide out cover, and when you slid it back, it would snap down. And one of the things it kept doing, thank you, is that when you snapped it down, it would crack the outer shell.
Okay. Nice. Yeah.
Oh. Anyway. Yeah, you gotta like that. Like, I like it.
Yeah, my first MP3 player, I guess, was the iPod Mini. What was the metal one? What's that called? The iPod Mini? The one that had like a 4 gigabyte hard drive?
Shuffle? No, hard drive?
No, had a real hard drive and a metal case. It's called the Mini or something. That went for you. Anyway, that was my first MP3 player.
Mini?
Yeah, I think it was called the Mini or something.
I don't remember. Was it a standard iPod?
Yeah, well, no, it was a special model that was smaller than the average one.
Okay.
But way back then, you know.
Okay, so they called it a Mini or something?
Yeah,
but it had a hard drive.
Yes, it did have a hard drive, yes. So long before the shuffles ran out.
Was that the one that had the color screen?
No.
Because you had the one that had the color screen that
later.
Did not do video. It just did pictures.
Yeah, I didn't have that one for very long. Because
uh-huh.
when the video one shortly after came out, I sold that one on eBay and bought a video one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I bought the video one actually partly because it was smaller. I always thought, well, see, the Mini broke down. The hard drive went bad on the Mini.
Okay.
So I bought the regular iPod, like 30 gigabytes. Which did not have video and it was too big.
Okay.
Then the video one came out, which was much thinner. I didn't really think I would care about the video that much, but it just came out and was much thinner. So I sold mine on eBay and bought that one. So. Anyway, so do you have any items or any news items?
I'm trying to think.
How much my food can slurp while we're doing it.
So Google has released, to everybody's surprise, their own web browser.
Right.
It's called Chrome, and it's currently available for PC only,
mm-hmm.
although they're saying that they'll have a version very soon for both Linux and the Mac.
Okay.
But it wasn't real clear to me when I saw this why they would go ahead and do it. I also haven't downloaded it and used it yet, although I've heard from people who have that it's really a nice experience, and it does certain things like tells you about the CPU load when you go to certain web pages, like how much system resources it's using. Yes, it does.
Because I've been using it a little bit. I haven't found that.
Okay.
But,
it's a feature, which is nice.
I think it's fast. It was really fast, but it does not support RoboForm. Or RoboForm does not support it yet. So it's kind of a pain, except to do all the passwords manually right now. It imports bookmarks. It imports everything from IE very nicely.
Okay.
It imports your bookmarks, the browsing history, and maybe all your cookies, I forget. But it just imports a lot more than the average new browser imports.
Does it? What does it support? Does it support plugins for, like, Firefox?
I don't know. Right now, I don't think the Droid does much of anything right now.
That's one of the things I like about Firefox so much is that the plugins written for Firefox are completely cross-platform compatible.
Okay.
Unless they're meant not to be.
Right. So I just stay with Internet Explorer. I don't care. But there is a new beta test version of Internet Explorer also, Internet Explorer 8, which I really should try. I haven't tried that yet, but I did try Chrome. So I saw some speculation about why Google would do this, and part of it is that they might want a browser to use with Android, because Google is working on this open source cell phone operating system to try to compete with iPhones and Windows Mobile and all that. And they need a good, strong web browser for that. And they have pretty much announced that they are going to make a version of Chrome for Android.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason they would want their own browser.
Now,
then, Google is trying to compete with Microsoft by getting people out of caring about the operating system and just running applications on the web. That's why they have Gmail and the Google Docs and Google Spreadsheets and presentations and Burpcast.
Burpcast.com.
Yeah. So they have. So Google is doing a lot of that application as a way of competing with Microsoft Because if people switch over to web-based applications, then you don't really care what operating system you're using.
Right. And Microsoft has said that they're actually going to try to get all their Office products on the web and have it be a subscription model.
Right.
Which makes sense if all you need to do is edit an Excel document. But then again, you got Google with Google Docs and all those tools that they offer that are...
But they're not as good. Like Google Docs and Google Spreadsheets.
They're getting better. The spreadsheet's getting better all the time. It now has a find feature where you can find.
Right.
And it's relatively fast depending on, you know, your connection to the web.
Do the charts, which I don't even know what they are, but I know that's the buzzword.
I don't think so, but that might be a feature.
Swivel charts.
They seem to be actively supporting it, though, with new updates.
Okay. But anyway, so there's rumors that Google wants to do their own browser just to guarantee compatibility with their own applications and stuff. So if they do their own browser multi-platform, maybe they'll eventually beat Firefox and get everyone to use their browser, and then they can just straight type to integrate their browser with applications and stuff.
The problem that I have with that is that it dilutes the browser market. It makes it so you have to have 4 different browsers installed on your machine in order to go to certain websites.
There's not, the only one I know of that doesn't work on Internet Explorer, though. I should really complain. There's a couple of functions in Brightkite that don't seem to work right in Internet Explorer, but do work right in other browsers. But otherwise, IE usually will support anything.
Yeah.
On a PC.
Well, the other news that's out is Spore is going to be available here very soon. Like, within the next, I'm going to say, like, week or so. Maybe a few weeks. The creature builder is already available, and I think a download that you can get for free.
Mm-hmm. What is Spore?
So the person who invented SimCity,
mm-hmm.
going back all the way to the late 80s, that was such an ingenious way of playing a game that he spawned a whole series of video games called Sim Ant,
right.
Sim Picnic, or Sim People,
mm-hmm.
Sim Family, all those different programs.
Is there a Sim Phone Free?
No, there's no Sim Phone Free.
Sim Free?
No. Okay. But the that method of playing the game was such that it was like you set up the environment and watch how these artificial intelligent creatures survive.
Right.
And if they're running out of some resource, you have to supply it. Kind of, you have to manage the environment.
Okay.
Spore is a life cycle development, character development software program. So the idea is that you start out at a molecule level where these, like, sea, you know, you're controlling these sea creatures that then grow based on the environment and the things that happen to them into a full-blown creature that could walk on the Earth, eventually get out into space. But it goes from the beginning to the end. I mean, it's like it starts out at the very microbial level and goes from there.
Supposed to pretend this is millions of years, you're supposed to do things to speed it up.
Yeah. But I've never played the game. I don't actually know how it works.
But there was no evolution. God just put all these creatures down 5,000 years ago and built the earth and all these creatures and men down, men that have dominion over them. Didn't you know that?
You didn't know we're all being played on a video, on somebody's monitor?
Wouldn't it surprise me. I know, wouldn't surprise me.
I know
people who do believe that the earth is 5,000 years old. I was just arguing with one of them the other day that he doesn't believe that the earth spins.
Okay.
He believes the earth is round. He's not claiming it's flat. He believes that the earth is a globe.
We never went to the moon.
Well, of course he believes that. Yeah, I know. Well, absolutely he believes that. But he believes that the earth stands still and all the stars and planets and sun and stuff revolve around it. And he has very bizarre arguments of why he thinks that's true. And he also, you know, definitely believes that the Earth is 5,000 years old only. And he'll argue about that.
Really?
Yeah. There are websites about all this.
That's funny.
So of course they can't believe that we went to the moon, because part of the rocketry and navigation of going to the moon involves everything, the Earth and everything else spinning, and how you take care of all that. So if they concede that we went to the moon and know how to do that kind of navigation, that kind of concedes maybe we're just spinning up all this stuff. So they don't think that ever happened. Yeah.
Mark pulled out an article about the Apollo guidance computer.
Right. And this is the computer that they used in the 1960s for the Apollo mission. You can imagine how primitive the electronics and software and everything would have been back then.
But probably very sturdy.
Yeah.
Able to withstand all kinds of...
the sort of modern ones that do all that.
I would argue that computer systems in the old days were a lot more sturdy than the ones that exist now. Everything's so small and tiny that, like, besides cell phones, a lot of things like MP3 players can crack and can get damaged, even iPhones, stuff like that.
Yeah. But that's because they're not making them that industrial quality. If they wanted to make one that can go to the moon, it would be pretty easy to do nowadays. It
just seems like you look at the old IBM circuit frames and stuff, everything was so, like, massive.
Right. Well, what's interesting about this, though, what this article is really about, it's not just about the computer, but about a guy who went back to the old drawings and went back to museums and went back to all the old literature to figure out exactly how they worked. And he built one using the old technology.
Yep.
He built one that could run the old software, that could actually run NASA's old software for navigating the moon and stuff. And since he figured it all out, he has a website with instructions that let you do it yourself far easier. Still a lot of work, but a lot easier than what he had to go through to do it.
That's cool.
So if you want to see the state of computing back then, when we pretended to go to the moon. But I tell you that former basement person in New York, he was taking an astronomy class in college there, and the astronomy professor claimed that we never went to the moon, and he was teaching that to the class, that this is all a hoax.
Really?
Yeah, and if you go to the...
What school is this?
City University of New York.
Yeah.
And I'll try to find it. NASA itself has a very good website that debunks people like that, where they take all the arguments that those people were using for what discrepancies they think they see in the photographs taken on the moon and stuff. And NASA goes through their discrepancy one by one and explains in detail why they're authentic. But this astronomy professor had never seen all that, and he was bringing up the discrepancies that people always bring up.
Okay.
He was bringing them up to the class as examples of why we couldn't have actually gone to the moon.
There was some talk.
There's
about
a Mythbusters.
You were talking about the Mythbusters thing in the last show, and that it was all on the back of a movie lot.
Yeah. So, if we talked about all this in the last show, they'll just edit this out, so I guess so.
Okay.
If we covered all this before, but. So.
No, I didn't cover this part, but.
Yeah, okay. I never remember. Wes and I meet and have dinner so often anyway that we talk about a lot of things. I don't remember what went on over the year and what didn't.
And I just talk about things over and over again.
Right.
I even found myself posting the same links.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. But it doesn't matter because this is an evolving blog.
Right. But don't people within Microsoft complain to their management that iTunes is so much easier to use? They still continue to use iTunes for personal...
Well, there have been articles about people on the Microsoft campus walking around with Apple products.
Right.
iPods and stuff. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Is there anything futuristic about that? Is there, other than just smaller or better or something, is there anything... I haven't really read anything about the future of pocket music devices or showing anything new is coming. I mean, Apple is supposed to have an announcement. What's the date? Within the next few days, Apple is doing some major announcement that everyone assumes will be new versions of iPods, but probably just smaller and faster enough as opposed to anything new.
I think that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
I've heard rumors about an iPod Nano that's actually an iTouch Nano.
Okay. you know, maybe. That may happen by the time this gets put on the air. It was just in the next several days is when that Apple's going to have that meeting. I forgot the date.
Okay.
They announced a new iPhone. I will be very annoyed. But you know what? If I really wanted to, I'm having enough problems with my iPhone right now. I could use those problems as an excuse to get my money back and then buy the new one if they really did come out with something that new.
Okay.
I mean, it's not just the reception problems everyone has, but I'm still having serious application issues with add-on applications and stuff.
Well, the reception is pretty bad.
Yeah.
3G network is not what it was supposed to be.
Depends on where you are. Like, at some places it works very well.
But in San Francisco, in certain buildings, it's bad. It doesn't work.
I know. And Apple, AT&T's coverage map shows 3G everywhere in San Francisco.
Right.
And it should be.
And it should be everywhere in San Francisco.
But clearly they only have certain towers doing 3G.
Right.
And when you force the phone into 3G mode, you get way fewer bars typically than if you let it go into the edge or just voice only mode.
How's everything?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't have the charcoal boiler anymore, do you?
It's upstairs.
Oh, you still have the real charcoal?
Well,
no, but the eye, but
charcoal boilers in here.
But real charcoal, but you're still using the real charcoal?
Kitchen.
Yeah?
Look at it.
Okay.
So Mark is going over to look at the kitchen. He's been invited to go look to see about the charcoal broilers. This is something that Al used to do on his own. If he didn't believe that the restaurant was actually telling the truth about charcoal broiling their meats, Al would just get up and actually walk into the kitchen to find out if they really were truthfully having...
No, and the answer is no.
Oh, right now?
No, they did not have charcoal.
Okay.
And he told me if I go look in this kitchen, I'd see it. And I look in the kitchen and I say, well, we already looked in there. I don't see it. He says, oh, you mean the thing that used to be over there with the real charcoal? No, we don't have that anymore.
He did?
Yeah. He finally admitted they don't have that anymore.
Wow.
No, I don't know if it's really insincere, but just people don't understand what you mean when you say real charcoal. They often don't really consider that you actually mean the word charcoal as opposed to a gas flame.
Nice.
They don't know necessarily understand that you're asking that exact question. Because that was the same guy who was talking about the moves, and he wouldn't lie to us. Someone knew the moves, but anyway.
I know.
Yeah.
That's it for the show.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Do you have anything else burning?
I don't know. But you don't have anything? Oh, just quickly. I have a theory, but I'll talk about this anyway. But although I have a theory that this may be why my iPhone went bad for add-on applications, so maybe be careful doing this.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll post an article that shows how to share expensive iPhone applications with your friends.
You mean $19 iPhone applications?
Yeah, well, but they're not worth it. They're only worth $15 or $14.
Well, that's what everybody in the reviews will say, yeah.
I know.
I have changed.
So, but anyway, if you and your friends have bought some that are actually worth very much money, there are ways you can share it with your friends' iPhones, but only up to 5.
Right.
But it is possible to share an application with your iPhone or 4 others. So,
it has to do with authorizing their machines as your own.
Right. Basically, you run... you have to give out your iTunes user ID and password to these other people. And they log in to iTunes with your user ID and password. You'll log out of their own, log in with yours.
Right.
Then they go to the application store and just buy the applications that you've already bought.
Right.
And it'll tell them you've already bought them so you can download it free. And it will let them download it to their machine.
Right.
And then you have to, they have to run the command to authorize their machine to play contents from your user ID and password.
Right.
Okay. And then from that point on, they can log out and go back to their own. And the applications that they download under your account will show up in the middle of the list of your applications. And as long as your machine is authorized to as long as your PC or Mac is authorized to play them,
right,
then the iPhone that you synchronize to that computer or Mac will be authorized to run that application.
Nice.
But somehow mine went bad about 2 or 3 days after I was playing around with that stuff. So I don't know. It might just be coincidence because other people do have the same problem I'm having,
yeah,
who don't do that sharing. So
and I do too.
But you don't do that sharing, though. You
know, I have issues with applications terminating too fast. And
yeah, but not, nothing like that.
Even with the 2.02.
Yeah, I have all that. But no, but one, my problem with this stuff.
So Kips, it's wonderful that Kips is so inexpensive because the bill right here is $19.25.
Right.
For both your barbecue chicken.
Right.
And my Hawaiian-style pizza, plus that includes my drink and
right,
your drink.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, but did I get charged for two?
You got charged for two, yeah.
Okay.
But, for. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, so I guess that's the end of the show. Look us up at slurpcast.com. Subscribe and you'll get an RSS notification through your favorite RSS reader when we do it. Yeah.
Net NewsGator.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Google Reader.
Yep. Thank you, everybody.